Morachi?
Here.
Mason?
Here.
Rosenthal? Sauer?
Here.
Trombley? Walker?
Here.
Wallace?
Here.
Wolf?
Here.
President DiPietro?
Excuse me, I'm here.
Quorum present.
Thank you. Can I have an introduction, please, to dispense with the reading of the minutes of the October 12th and 19th meetings and place them on file? An introduction? Ryan?
Yeah.
And a second? Duan, a second. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion carries.
We
just voted to dispense with the reading of the minutes. Somebody's getting very bad feedback there. I don't know who it is. Can I have a introduction and a second, please, to place committee reports on file? Introduction?
Duan,
second by Ryan. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion carries. Communications. We have three communications about the eviction without cause legislation. Can I have a motion to accept the communicate, to receive the communications? Ryan, a second. Duan. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? The motion carries. Is Michelle here? I guess she's not here yet. I have one quick announcement before we start the resolutions. As you know, there will be in the near future a position open on the council in the third ward. And according to the code C36, we, the council, will most likely be appointing that person. And I want to put out a notice to anyone in the third ward who wishes to apply for this position. At some point, we will interview all the applicants and, as a council, choose the next member from the third ward. Okay, moving right along. Shaheem, can you post the first...
Tom, may I speak?
Yes, you may, but...
In the third ward,
yes,
a write-in candidate received over 80 votes.
Yeah.
When you say that you're going to look at applicants, can you elaborate a little bit on that?
I already did. Anyone from the third ward who wishes to be considered can be considered.
Okay.
Okay, moving right along to the resolutions. Let's see. Shaheen, the first resolution, please. Appointing Commissioner Deeds. Can I have a roll call vote, please, Tracy?
Alderman Garriga.
Aye.
Halloran.
Aye.
Morancy.
Aye.
Mizan?
Aye.
Sauer?
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Wolf?
Aye.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
Harry?
Thank you, Tracy. Shaheem, can I have the next resolution, please? All right. There we are. This is, as you recall, all the first 10 resolutions were all introduced last week. So this is the chargeback from EMS. Can I have a roll call vote, please, Tracy?
Alderman Garriga.
Aye.
Tracy.
Halloran.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Mizan.
Aye.
Sarr.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Wolf.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
Thank you. The next resolution, please, Shaheem.
Hey, Tom.
Yes, sir.
Are we recording this or no?
I'm sorry. Could you say that again?
Are we recording this?
Yes.
Live or no?
Yes. Okay. This is the contract authorizing the mayor to sign a contract extension with our parking ticket processing services. A roll call vote, please. Tracy?
Alderman Garriga.
Aye.
Halloran.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Mizan.
Aye.
Sarr.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Wolf.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
Next resolution, please, Shaheem. Montgomery Street. This is the resolution deassessing of the portion of Montgomery Street that dead ends at its end. Can I have a roll call vote, please, Tracy?
Alderman Garriga.
Is this a new resolution?
No, ma'am.
Mm-mm. I was just looking over it real quick.
Thank you.
Halloran.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
I'm sorry.
Aye.
Thank you. Mizan?
Aye.
Sarr?
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Wolf?
Aye.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
Carried.
Thank you. The next resolution is the settlement on the assessment for the what's called the Man and Man, the owner is the Man and Man Properties, but it's the wine and beer and alcohol store on Green Street. This was a settlement to lower their assessment. Can I have a roll call vote, please? Tracy?
Alderman Garriga. I'm sorry. Aye. Thank you. Halloran?
Aye.
Moranti?
Aye.
Mizan?
Aye.
Sarr?
Aye.
Walker?
Sustain.
Wallace?
Aye.
Wolf?
Aye.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
Carried.
Thank you. Next resolution is to appoint Vanessa Baer to the Conservation Advisory Council. Can I have a roll call vote, please, Tracy?
Alderman Garriga.
Aye.
Halloran.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Mizan.
Aye.
Sarr.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Wolf.
Aye.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
Carried.
Next resolution, I believe, is adding... Let me see. Yes, adding Ryan to the retirement system. A roll call vote, please.
Alderman Garriga?
Aye.
Halloran?
Aye.
Maranti?
Aye.
Lizan?
Aye.
Barr?
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Recusing myself, please.
Wolf?
Aye.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
Carried.
The next resolution approves the Tourism Board expenditure for potting soil additions and replacement of plant loss, and also authorizes the city treasurer to make transfers to more accurately record disbursements.
And Tom, if I may, just to clarify too, I did confirm with the city treasurer that this is going to be directed out of the reserve fund that the Tourism Board carries. So it's not a direct impact on additional funds that are in the general fund.
Oh, of course not. Yeah, okay. Roll call vote, please.
Alderman Garriga?
Aye.
Halloran?
Aye.
Maranti?
As I spoke with, and regarding this, the lack of authorization and just the best practices, I'm going to say no.
Nathan?
Aye.
Barr?
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Wolf?
Aye.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
Carried.
The next resolution authorizes the mayor to sign the settlement agreement with Verizon Wireless. A roll call vote, please.
Alderman Garriga?
No.
I'm sorry?
She said no.
Oh, nay.
Thank you. Halloran?
This is for the Verizon settlement?
Yes.
Aye.
Maranti?
Aye.
Nizan?
Aye.
Barr?
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Wolf?
Nay.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
Carried.
I meant to say when I voted that I will not let any body or corporation bully me.
Thank you, Tiffany. The next resolution was rewritten slightly from the version that was asked to be put forward originally, and it was introduced, I believe, with that amendment, that change.
So what did it change, Tom?
Well, originally it had said Native American Indians, and now it's...
Okay, I remember now, yes.
Yes. So, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Alderman Garriga.
Isn't it supposed to be an indigenous people as well?
I think that officially it's called, like, as a national holiday or whatever, it's called National Native American Heritage Month. I think that's the official title.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Rebecca.
Am I supposed to vote now? Is it on me?
Yes, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I support the resolution with the acknowledgement, but it should also recognize indigenous people as well, since we're all being classified. Thank you.
Halloran?
Aye.
Aye.
Mazan?
Aye.
Starr?
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Wolf?
Aye.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
Carried.
Thank you. Okay, now we're heading into 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 new resolutions, which means, of course, we might want to discuss them. The first one authorizes the mayor to enter into an agreement with James Delaney to provide dog control services to the city. Do I have an introduction?
I'll introduce it, Rebecca.
Rebecca, do I have a second?
Do one.
Okay, any discussion?
Are we still receiving reports from the dog walk?
Yes, yes, we do, every month. No comments? We'll have a roll call vote then, please, Tracy.
Alderman Garriga.
Aye.
Halloran.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Nissan.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Wolf?
Aye.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
I'm sorry, I have a question. It just popped in my head.
Sure.
Is the dog officer and also in charge of making sure the all the stands in the city, within the city, that has the poop bags? The dog officer makes sure that those are always full?
It's a good question that I don't know the answer to.
Well, if it is, then it should be a part of his duty and not the traffic or DPW.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's DPW, but I will look into that.
Thank you.
Let me write a note here.
Just saying he makes more than the alderman. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm just saying he makes more than the alderman.
No, I heard you. That's a good point. The next resolution authorizes the mayor to enter an agreement with Columbia Green Humane Society to provide dog shelter services to the city, which is what we've continued to do, just continuing what we already do. An introduction?
Saoirse,
a second?
You want?
I think Tiffany.
I think
Tiffany Beecher, Dawn. Any conversation?
I think they do a great job with animals, and they provide services as well.
Thank you,
Tom. I think during the budget process, you did talk about the fee process and how it was going to be structured possibly to charge dog owner after a certain time frame. Did that move anything forward? Or
well, no, I mean, it can. We will. The point is you can't do that during the BEA sessions, but it was pointed out during the BEA sessions. And I hope I'll make a note to put that forward as we go forward. And if not, please remind me. We do need to restructure that.
You know, I'd like to remind you. Thank you.
Barring further conversation, can I have a roll call vote, please?
Alderman Garriga.
Aye.
Halloran.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Nissan.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Wolf.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
The next resolution are transfers within the funds of the fire department account. Can I have an introduction, please?
I'll introduce.
Ryan introduced, Saoirse second.
Okay.
Can I have a roll call vote, please, unless somebody has a question? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Alderman Garriga?
Aye.
Halloran?
Aye.
Moranti?
Aye.
Nguyen?
Aye.
Farr?
Aye.
Walter?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Wolf?
Aye.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
Carried.
The next resolution is just the city accepting funds that went towards the contract. Went towards the effort of Hudson Valley Pattern for Progress to consult with the city on the affordable housing development plan. And so this is putting together all the various sources and accepting that money on behalf of the city. And as you know, it's done, and we are going to hear a presentation by Michelle Tulo later on what, on the very plan. Any question? Well, first, an introduction, please.
I'll introduce it, Rebecca.
Rebecca, and a second.
I'll second, Tom.
Malachi, thank you. Any questions or comments? In that case, a roll call vote, please, Tracy.
You said the person is here tonight to talk about this?
Yes. Not about the money, but about what the actual plan, what the plan they came up with.
Can we hear about this before we vote? Since all of these resolutions is new, including this one?
Well,
Tiffany, just to explain, this resolution is not about the plan itself. This is just accepting funding that was already
Hey, Alderman Wolf, all you're doing is repeating what the council president said. I can clearly understand.
Great.
We will hear from her after the next five resolutions, so she has more time. I think it'll be smoother if we go in that order. Now, okay.
Support of affordable housing. I just wanted to hear.
Oh, we'll hear it. Yeah, no, we'll hear the plan. Where were we, Tracy? Did we have the roll call? Did we start the roll call vote?
No.
We did not.
Okay. Can we, please?
Sure. Alderman Garriga.
Aye.
Halloran.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Nguyen.
Aye.
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Wolf?
Aye.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
Carried.
Thank you. The next resolution is a transfer of funds within the youth department. You can see that there. Introduction, please.
I'll introduce Dewan.
Malachi introduced and Dewan second. A roll call vote, please.
Alderman Garriga.
Aye.
Halloran.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Nguyen.
Aye.
Farr.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Wolf?
Aye.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
Carried.
Thank you. The next resolution. Where is it? This just follows an established law how did I not see this today? People who are in arrears for their sewer and water fee taxes will have them added to their property tax bill distributed in January.
Dewan introduce.
And a second?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, men. Any questions or comments? A roll call vote, please, Tracy.
Alderman Garriga.
Aye.
Halloran.
Aye.
Ferranti.
Aye.
Nizan.
Aye.
Saar.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Wolf.
Aye.
Aye.
Carrie.
The next resolution.
Tom,
yes.
Tom, I apologize. I should have brought this up before. I just want to double check. I think in July, didn't the state comptroller's office pass legislation that basically said that property tax increases of any kind were stabilized at 2% for all of 2022? This so my question would be, what if this accidentally sends somebody up above that 2%?
No, this is not their property tax. This is a
I know, but is it going to be? It is listed separately, but it doesn't get combined in terms of how it's read.
No.
Okay.
The next resolution. Transfer of funds. Within the firehouse budget. I was making all those noises, but can I have an introduction, please?
I'll introduce.
Thank you, Ryan. A second?
Dewan.
I think Dewan was first there. Any conversation, or can we have a roll call vote? Let's go with a roll call vote.
Alderman Garriga.
Aye.
Halloran.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Nizan.
Aye.
Saar.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Wolf.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye.
Carrie.
The next resolution authorizes the mayor to enter into an agreement with New York State for an easement that we need to advance the Ferry Street Bridge project. And let's see. So this, I guess we need an introduction and a second first.
I'll introduce.
Thank you, Ryan.
Dewan
seconds. So again, this is just asking the state to give us this easement, which allows us to use state property in order to complete the Ferry Street Bridge, or to erect the Ferry Street Bridge. And as you can see, it has to record our votes with whether they were present or not. So, Tracy, roll call vote, please.
Alderman Garriga.
Present.
Aye. Thank you. Halloran?
Aye.
Moranti?
Aye.
Nizan?
Aye.
Saar?
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Wolf?
Aye.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
Carrie.
Our last resolution is a transfer, authorizing transfers within the DPW Water and Sewer Department accounts. An introduction, please.
I'll introduce.
Ryan, a second?
I'll second.
Was that Tiffany?
Yes, it was.
Thank you. Roll call vote, please.
Alderman Garriga.
Aye.
Halloran.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Nizan.
Aye.
Saar.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Wolf.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye.
Carrie.
And now, what we've all been waiting for, is a present. Can you take down the Thank you. A presentation by Michelle Tulo, our fair housing, our housing justice, never again, sorry, our housing justice coordinator. And do you have anything you have to show, or you just?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So can I share my screen?
Shaheem, cool? Yes. Shaheem, will you let her share the screen, please? And take it away. Ooh, cool. Nice cover.
Okay, can y'all see that?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, thank you. Hi, everyone. I'm Michelle Tulo. I'm the Housing Justice Director, if we haven't met yet. So I was hired under the city's anti-displacement grant. This is the Affordable Housing Development Plan that was commissioned by the mayor's office and was put together by Pattern for Progress. They did an incredible job, so big thanks to them. So my presentation is geared towards the council. It's going to be pretty quick. I know a lot of you are familiar with housing issues in the city, but I do want to let you know that a week from today at 6 p.m., the mayor is going to give a town hall for the public that will go more into the weeds of this. So if anyone has more questions or more discussion, you can find that Zoom link on the city's webpage. So I'm going to go through this pretty quickly just to give you an overview that's in it. And also, if you want to read the plan for yourself or a summary, you can find it on the city webpage. If you go to housing resources, it's the top thing at that website if you want to read it. So this plan builds off of previous plans we've had. So we had the housing needs assessment in 2017 by the county that really identified what a housing crisis we're in. And then the housing action plan in 2018 then said, okay, here's the problem. Now here's our ideas for solutions. And then to kind of implement those solutions, the city won the anti-displacement learning network grant in 2020 and 2021 from Enterprise. And so that fund of money is being used to implement parts of that strategic housing action plan. And one piece of that, a key element of that plan was that we need more housing units that are affordable. And by affordable, what I mean is that people are not paying more than 30% of their income on rent. And the big gap we have in the city is for people who are moderate to low income. So that's what I mean by affordable. And so we now have this plan that says we know we have these housing issues, we know we have this need, so where can we actually build housing? So that's what we have today, is a development plan. There's other strategies that are outside the scope of this project. So again, the purpose of this is ensuring Hudson's inclusive to residents across incomes and that we can provide housing for an equitable workforce. And so this plan is providing potential sites for development, as well as policies or programs that can preserve and increase affordability. So this is a plan that's really giving implementable steps to prevent displacement. So again, our consultant was Hudson Valley Pattern for Progress. Again, big thanks to them. They went above and beyond. Really a well-known, reputable firm in the Hudson Valley, experts in community development. So it's commissioned by the mayor's office, and we had some partners in this. So that's Housing Authority, HCBPA, the Anti-Displacement Grant Team, and Spark of Hudson. So the way that this was created is that the firm did quantitative research, so really digging through housing needs, demographic trends, socioeconomic metrics, and having the challenge of doing that during COVID, so making things as updated as possible. And they also met with lots of different groups of people, small business focus groups, stakeholder interviews, and we had an advisory committee. So it's a combination of residents, people who are affected by displacement, as well as experts in economic development and real estate field, and some site visits. So that's what all the information came from. And so again, the strategy that this plan is focusing on is where and how to develop new multi and single family affordable housing, and when to rehabilitate abandoned properties or redevelop vacant parcels. So key findings, many of us we already know, but the research proved that many long-term residents have been displaced and that more residents are at risk of displacement because housing prices keep to increase and we have a very limited inventory of affordable units. And just two things that really stand out is almost 1,000 households in the city are cost burdened, meaning they're paying more than 30% of their income on housing, which makes them very insecure to any type of housing instability. And we're a pretty small city, so 1,000 households is pretty huge. And people who qualify for affordable housing aren't able to get it because it's not here. Our Section 8 housing voucher list has 245 households. And so that just shows that we actually do need more units. This is a map of where we currently have subsidized affordable housing. So that means it's regulated through different programs. And you can see how most of the housing is concentrated more on the north side of the city, and it's not spread evenly throughout the city. So the recommendations in this report are broken down to two types. One is that they created a short list of sites for development, and the other are planning and policy recommendations. So this short list is really the meat of the report. So the team studied over 80 sites in the city, both publicly owned and private. And then out of those 80 sites, they had a list of 44 variables that they used to screen and select their short list of the best sites. So this is just some categories of those variables, looking at the ownership, the land use, environmental factors, proximity of services, the building conditions, looking at development potential, so like slope, size, utilities, all that stuff. So that's how they got the sites that are on the list. So this is the short list. I want to make a couple points before I name the sites. The first one is that these are potential sites. The city has not engaged in development. We have to go through a whole development process were that to happen. So especially knows that some of these are not even city owned. And so just understanding this is not a list of anything that's happening in the near term for future, but just potential sites. And also note that this plan is a living document, and so very subject to change based on market demand, developers, housing subsidies. Let's just keep that in mind as you look at these sites. So on the left-hand side are sites that are ideal for multifamily rental. So the top one is the lot at State and North 4th Street, which is city-owned. The site at 604 Washington, which is across from the firehouse. And then we have some that are not city owned. So East Court Street is owned by St. Mary's. It's a lot behind the church, the overhead door factory, and then JLE. And then these homeowner sites, again, many of them are not city owned, but we would recommend that they are used for homeownership opportunities. And so this is the map of those sites. If you think back to the map we just saw, where all the sites are focused on one part of the city, you can see how these would spread out the sites throughout the city. So the yellow blocks are sites that are currently in some form of development. So for example, the Hudson Housing Authority is going to be going through redevelopment. The gray is this short list of selected sites. And this is just an example of what a potential timeline could look like. Again, this is potential. We do not have things in the works yet. And the idea is more to think that these are all in relationship to each other. So if you have certain funding sources for some sites, that means that funding is not available for another site. Or if you build lots of multifamily rental, then we'd want to do more homeownership. So these are not, these are related. The decisions you make kind of choose, they affect the path that would go next. And so this plan just lays out different funding sources, the time that it would take to go from development to construction to lease up, and the types of sites. So that's the bulk of the report, and it provides an analysis of each of the sites, getting more into why that site was chosen. So if you're curious about those details, then again, refer you to the full report. And then the last piece to support the development sites are some recommendations for planning and policy. I'm not gonna read them, but you can look right here. A lot of them, the city has already taken steps to start. So for example, the top one is homeowner and rental housing rehabilitation. So we've already applied for a CDBG grant for that, supporting partners in the city who are already doing that work. We've already applied for grants for the comp plan, working on, you know, like development guidelines and parking. So these are all things that are gonna improve the process, both in terms of making it more streamlined and efficient, but also make sure the community has a voice in everything moving forward and they stay engaged. So these are also things we'll be pursuing. And yeah, so just that was quick overview. Next steps again is that we do have the mayor's virtual town hall a week from today at 6. If anyone wants to hear more, get into more detail, the plan. And then the plan is available under housing resources on the city webpage. And again, we are going after all those planning and policy pieces. I mean, this is one of the big reasons why I was hired, is to, you know, help implement some of these components, to applying for grants, to help with the planning process. And then we will be putting out RFQs for developers so that we do develop this, you know, these lands, that it goes through the whole process with community engagement and stakeholder input and all that to make sure that it meets the needs of the city. Yeah, so that was it, Tom. Open for any questions anyone wants any.
Thank you, Michelle. And by the way, you can unmute yourself if you have a question or raise your hand. Actually, can you take it down, Michelle, so we can, I can see everybody then. See if anybody has questions. Questions. Please raise your hand if you'd have a question for Michelle.
I just want to say thank you, Michelle, for that overview.
You're welcome.
That'll be very helpful for the city.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Now, would you, you know, usually when there's a report, it's formally presented to the council to vote on and accept. Is that in the near future?
Sure. Okay. I wasn't sure, though.
Yeah. No, that's what we do with the SHAP plan, you know, okay. So it becomes part of the record and something that, you know, that has the council's endorsement.
Okay,
so
awesome.
Maybe we can plan on that for December.
Yeah, so then everyone knows where you can find it. Okay. Again, it's that housing resources page. And if anyone has questions after this, after you look through it, get more questions, you can also email me housing@cityofhudson.org.
Great job, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. I don't see any other questions. Shaheem, can you, in that case, put up the bills as we move along? Thank you, Michelle, again. Okay. First, I need an introduction to pay the bills.
I'll introduce
Malachi. Thank you. A second?
I'll second.
Ryan. Any questions?
Anything new on in that?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
Anything new?
Not much. Need decals, I wondered about. It turns out to be those plastic parking permits. It's a once a year expense. Everything else is pretty self-explanatory. In that case, can I have a roll call vote, please, Tracy?
Alderman Garriga.
Pay the bills. Aye.
Halloran.
Uh-oh. Eileen, are you unmuted? Are you there? Let's see. She's not. She's muted. Eileen, you're muted. She's here but muted. Eileen, can you hear us? Yep, she's unmuted.
I'm here.
There you go.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can now.
Okay.
Hi. Okay.
Thank you. Moranti?
Hi.
Nathan?
Where is he? Shoshana, you need to unmute yourself.
Hi.
Shar?
Hi.
Walter?
Hi.
Wallace?
Hi.
Wolf?
You're muted. Rebecca, you're muted.
Sorry, I couldn't unmute for some reason. Aye.
Thank you. President DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
Okay. A couple last pieces of business here. We, as you know, we have two local laws, and we need to officially put them on our desk so that we can vote on them in December. So what I'll need is a motion and a second. The first is a law that establishes a process for naming city streets. Do I have an introduction?
Tom, before you...
Excuse me, please. This is not open to the public at this point.
Thank you, Tom. I'll introduce.
Thank you, Tiffany. Second?
Shersha.
Thank you, Shersha. And then the second law... can I have an introduction, please? Oh, sorry. It's the evictions without cause law. Can I have an introduction, please?
I'll introduce.
Thank you, Tiffany. And a second.
I'll second it, Rebecca.
Thank you. Okay. So we'll be voting on those next month, along with the zoning law. Okay, new business. And I open this to the council first.
Well, Tom.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if we have established a security for the city hall.
That would be, I think, a question for the mayor's office, and I think Michael Hoffman, who is the mayoral assistant or aide, is present and maybe answer that.
Yeah, hi Malachi. I will update the council that I did submit some inquiries around to 5 or 6 different firms. Only one of them got back to me, so I still have some work to do on follow up there, and I will provide an update to the council then. I'll plan to do that for your next meeting.
Appreciate it, Mike.
Of course.
Council members. Sorry.
No, I was just saying if Michelle is still present, I just wanted one more thing to say. I definitely appreciate her definition of affordable housing. I think sometimes we get that mixed up. So she did a good job with identifying what affordable was. Thank you again, Michelle, for that.
Thank you.
Other council members? Oh, Ryan has his hand up.
I just wanted to give an update quickly on parking because I know that there's some folks on the call that are following that. So just for background, Tom, the mayor, and myself met with Peter Bouchenau today to go through the RFP, which we are currently going to update to incorporate a lot of the issues that have been brought up over the past few council meetings. So, Rebecca, that includes the idling law info. Malachi, that's also going to include making sure that they take into consideration the painting of the lines on the streets, as you had brought up in the last meeting as well. Our goal is to have something in front of the council for the informal meeting to review in December.
Thank you. That's amazing.
Yes. Thank you, Ryan. Dominic has his hand up. Dominic.
Thank you, Tom. Is there any movement on an attorney for the council?
Yes, we've talked to two, and we should have a, it's finally the mayor's choice, and I know that proposals came in for one of them today, and I'll have to talk to the mayor about it. So we should have a new attorney in place shortly.
Thank you.
Both the two women who were interviewed are both highly qualified, and I think you'll all be very happy.
They're local, Tom, or no? That's from...
They're both based in Albany. They don't live in Albany, but they're both based in Albany.
Thank you.
Anybody else from the council first? Okay, the public. First up is Margaret Morris.
Tom, this is just a really simple question.
Okay.
And the question relating to the naming of streets. In one section of the law, it indicates that the naming of the street should be a natural person. And then further on, there's references to associations. So I think there should be some clarification as to whether the naming of the street should be for natural persons or for natural persons and or associations, because there's a conflict in how the in how it's written. That's all I was going to say.
Okay, thank you. We'll look, I'll look into that. Next up is Steve Dunn.
Good evening again. I have grave concerns about the law on evictions that deletes paragraph 9 as proposed, which would, I think, as far as I understand it, leave Hudson alone. Albany, Beacon, Newburgh have not deleted that provision that allows those who want to sell their property to allow someone who buys it to actually live in it is deleted, such that they have to buy it first and then litigate in order to live in a unit in which they live. I think that raises issues not only as to state law, but federal law and unlawful takings. And Ithaca, in particular, has diverted or even without the deletion of paragraph 9 that's been proposed, has deferred until Lahita James, the Attorney General of the state of Hudson, has ruled on the matter or given an advisory opinion. So what I'm saying is, I think Hudson is being reckless on this matter. I think it'll cause Hudson, because it doesn't have safety in numbers, to incur a large amount of legal fees. I think it'll have blowback because it'll make those ma and pa landlords who are have tenants for one or two units to be out of business, and therefore the only tenant housing left over time will be those who get government subsidies, be it pilot waivers or whatever. I think it will hurt Hudson. I live in the Fourth Ward. I urge Don Rosenthal and Malachi Walker to reach out to me and others who might be interested. I love Hudson. I think it'll hurt it. And my email address for those who want to converse with a man, an old man who's on his way out bit by bit.
You only give 2 minutes, Tom.
SW Dunn 1-949-885-6516. I hope my representatives will reach out to me. I feel sad. It's not about me. It's because of my love of Hudson and nothing else. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. You do a lot to help us.
One at a time. Hands up, people. We got a whole list of people, and I'm going to take them in order of hands going up. Crystal Hines is next.
On the council.
Well,
wow. Crystal Hines here, Fifth Ward. I will echo everything that Steve said because he said it quite succinctly. I will also say, as a landlord here in Hudson, I'm also a resident in Hudson. I have my business here. I'm an employer in the city. I think that there is this notion that all the landlords here are somehow from out of this town and trying to take advantage of tenants. That is not the case. The taxes are very expensive here. It's very expensive to improve some of these dilapidated properties. It's a lot of the reason we have high rents here. We also have supply and demand. I will just caution the council against this law. This will do nothing to protect the people that you are. Landlords such as myself will make sure to scrub tenants financially to make sure that they are the kind of people that probably will not stay forever, that they will look towards homeownership. We won't take chances on people that are on the fence. We won't take chances with people that have a spotty job history. And we won't take chances with people that don't have really good credit. And I think that you're doing a disservice to the people that you're trying to protect. And I think you're doing a disservice to the landlords in the city. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next up is Margaret Morris.
I just wanted to echo what Steve just said.
Okay. Are you going to add something? Because
no, I just want to echo what he is saying.
Okay.
That. Okay. Fair enough, Tom.
Thank you. Thank you. No, I'm not trying to cut you off. I just, you know, I'd like to.
No, Tom, you cut me off. It's okay. It's fine. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Next up is Rebecca Garrard.
Yes, I'm once again urging us to have a discussion that's based in the facts of what the law are and not misinformation. So to go to the first point that two people echoed, where if somebody buys a property and wants to move into it, they're not going to be able to, that is not what the law says. The law exempts owner-occupied properties, so of less than 4 units. So if you buy a property and want to move into it, then you are exempted from abiding by this legislation. So you absolutely could evict someone to move into it. So that is not true. And to the point that Hudson is going rogue, Hudson is actually mirroring the state level legislation. And so the municipalities that actually have gone rogue are the other three that have passed legislation that doesn't mirror the state legislation, to the point that Ithaca has decided to wait for the AG's office. That is patently false. They are moving forward. That is not where they're at. And to the point that if property taxes go up, this is prohibitive to landlords. In fact, it is quite clear in the legislation that if costs increase, be it in regards to property taxes, maintenance, improvements to buildings, that is a reason to be able to go above the 5% threshold. The 5% is simply for breathing air as a landlord. And that any costs associated give you justification to go above it. You don't have to get permission. You can simply notify your tenant that you're going above. They would have to suffer through a non-payment eviction to assert a defense that it was unreasonable. The idea that credit history is not something that harms tenants in this moment, and this is now just going to start to harm them, is something that any tenant would simply tell you is laughable. And so, again, we can have the real conversation, which is that this is going to allow landlords to be profitable, but not in a way that is predatory and without any constraints. And for that purpose is to ensure some sort of housing stability. But I really get frustrated when our conversations are around pieces of false misinformation. I just find that enormously frustrating.
Thank you, Rebecca. Next is, and can I ask that, I know a lot of people want to speak for and against. Please try to add to what's already been said so that we just don't repeat things over and over. But that being said, feel free to just say what you want to say. Next up is Claire. Claire Cousin.
Hello. I just wanted to, after hearing what Rebecca stated, just reminding the council that this is something that is not a depthy piece of legislation for you to review. There's plenty of examples of it being successful and where other municipalities and cities have passed this type of legislation. I really hope that this does not continue to be vilified in the public. It's a really straightforward piece of legislation that protects both parties, and I think that this narrative in the community that could genuinely unite us instead of divide us has become something that I'm really disgusted by. But I'm really hoping that you guys take the time to read through the legislation, lean on the housing experts that have been doing this work for months, almost 2 years now, working through COVID and actually taking the time to get the facts. And, you know, Michelle Tulo is also a great resource when thinking about these issues because she's also on the forefront. She's a city official and she's doing the work. She's been working hand in hand with the housing experts and can tell you what the crisis really looks like. Some of the comments that were made in regards to what types of tenants will be protected, all tenants will be protected. This is a way of asking or allowing tenants a fair day in court and landlords a day in court. If you feel like your tenant needs to go, then you can stand before a judge and receive the judgment that you so rightfully deserve. If not, you won't get the judgment that you're seeking. So I'm really urging you to do the right thing. I think this is a very straightforward piece of legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Claire. Next up is Kyle Weidman.
Thanks, Tom. Kind of adding on to what I shared at the last meeting, that I encourage council members not to be deterred or influenced by these sort of false threats based on false information coming from a couple of landlords in the making comments, including things such as that one and two tenant landlords are going to be negatively impacted by this, when that's not even relevant to the legislation because it's four or more units. Additionally, I would think it's important to remember the context here, which is that this is a piece of legislation that's been developed and crafted very thoughtfully by a movement for housing justice across the state. It's been endorsed by the AG's office. It's been very thoughtfully crafted. This language isn't random. It's not Hudson is not the only city to adopt this or to consider this. And so I think it's important for everyone to trust those who are experts and in their experience, and that tenants' rights is going to benefit the most people. And the landlords who are on this call who have concerns will still be able to make a living off of their homes without issue. So we're here tonight to protect the rights and the lives of those whose lives are threatened by housing insecurity. I just want to make that clear where I stand and where I think the council should stand in representing people of the city, especially in light of Michelle's presentation of over 1,000 households being housing insecure. That is insane. And we need to do something about it now. Thank you all for everybody who's doing work on this. Very grateful.
Thank you, Kaya. Return of Steve Dunn.
Kaya, maybe we should communicate a bit more, but I don't think any municipality, much less the state or any state, has ever adopted the notion per the proposed amendment to delete paragraph 9 that precludes selling a property to allow someone else to live in it. And that leaves Hudson alone. It hasn't been adopted by Albany, hasn't been adopted by Beacon, hasn't been adopted by Ithaca. Indeed, even without deleting paragraph 9, Ithaca decided, not a right-wing place, Ithaca, New York, Tompkins County, they decided to defer adopting this legislation until the Attorney General, Lahita James, not a right-wing Trumpist, but rather a progressive who's running against Mario Cuomo, to give an opinion. So I think Hudson is buying litigation. It hasn't been vetted. I think it risks both state issues as to preemption and federal issues as to a taking that leaves Hudson alone, and then Hudson alone has to pay the legal fees. And I say this not for me. I can afford whatever Hudson does, including confiscating all of my property. I think it hurts Hudson going forward because it becomes insane for anybody except somebody under a provision of waiving property taxes through that provision or whatever, you know, a pilot program. And so I'm asking again for my representatives to talk to me, because I'm concerned about the future of Hudson, and it's squeezing out Hudson landlords, small mom and pop, and creating massive incentives to get rid of two-family and three-family homes and converting them to single-family homes because it makes absolutely no sense to be a landlord anymore in Hudson. It makes me sad. And that's all I have to say. So Malachi and John Rosenthal, that's not here, you represent me. Talk to me. swdun1@gmail.com 949-885-6516. Thank you for your patience, all of you, very much.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Steve.
That's for Malachi.
Okay. Well, okay, Malachi. Oh, you just want to say you're contact him?
Yeah, no, I was just going to...
pronounced his name incorrectly.
Right.
Okay, next, Rebecca Gerard again.
Yes, I really must direct response. It is unacceptable that false information is being presented here. So again, Steve, to your first point, the state of New Jersey has had stricter legislation on the books since 1974, which includes transfer of ownership not being a cause for eviction. So you just said that no city in the state and no other state has done this. Literally, the state of New Jersey, since 1974, has had legislation with stricter parameters, but including transfer of ownership not being a cause for eviction. To your second point, you must stop saying that Ithaca is waiting for the AG's decision. They are voting on their legislation December 21st. That is not true. That is absolutely patently false. So state your opinion, but it is intolerable to state misinformation. Intolerable.
Okay, thank you, Rebecca. Eli Berkowitz. Eli? Oh, there you are.
Hi, good evening, everyone.
Ooh.
Oops, sorry for the echo. Okay, that's better. I wanted to speak because I am involved with a group of tenants who recently fought for and passed this legislation in Poughkeepsie. And as many of you know, I also hold Hudson near and dear to my heart. And I want to share what one of the council members in Poughkeepsie shared, speaking of Beacon, a city with a similar history and many similar dynamics to Hudson in many ways, that showed after a really robust study by Pattern for Progress in Beacon, that as a result of unchecked development of the kind that Hudson has had and unchecked landlords being able to make whatever decision they wanted to make, whether that was in the best interests of people in their community or not. And don't get me wrong, I think there are landlords who keep that in mind. But without the kinds of legislation that puts some balance on the scales, as Claire and others have really effectively demonstrated this does, Beacon lost a third of its total population over the course of the period of study, and twice that among its Black population. So I would just again reiterate previous calls to consider the kind of community that we're trying to protect in Hudson and the kind of community that we're trying to create. And I hope that the council does as it should and passes this law so that we can retain and create the kind of multiracial and fair and equitable community that Hudson is, can be, and deserves to be.
Thank you. Donna? Are you there?
Donna, yes, oh, Donna.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you, Eli, just to echo one point. Okay, not echo because, you know, we're not repeating. But just to speak, I feel like it's giving one, racism, and two, classism to say that like you're supposed to be okay as a landlord, but you don't want this to pass. And I feel like two of the things that this is, the bill seems like it really protects landlords. And also it's just a bill to ensure that renters aren't being evicted due to gentrification or due to unfair reasoning. So I feel like it's not like I said, I feel like it's not like, and it's also to reduce like retaliation with landlords, and hearing the landlords speak right now, I feel like it's proving that renters need more protection. And I also wanted to say that since Steve was saying that he could afford the bill to pass, why don't you just, you know, if landlords are actually have a real good reason to evict people, you could help them pay for their court fees. So there's really no reason not to pass the bill, right? So especially since a lot of landlords seem to be in very good standing if you can have multiple properties. So I just wanted to re-emphasize, and I said this last week, that not passing the bill is anti-Black, is white supremacist, and is classist. And so it's kind of like, I don't think that the bill is that radical, and I'm hoping that, yeah, I'm just hoping that it passes and we are centering renters' rights over landlords.
Thank you, Dunya.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dunya.
Hello. I've been waiting too long. I'm going to say, young lady, if you have some time tomorrow, I would like to meet you in person or Zoom me in person, because you took the words right out of my mouth. I've been fighting this fight on this city council for the past 8 years, and you people that have been talking and ranting and raving, I have never seen them on the front lines for the people, not for our people, not for poor white people, not for poor brown people, not for poor Black Hispanic people, none of that. They always speaking on what they want for themselves. And I'm so glad that you as a young woman, a young Black woman, is speaking up on behalf of the people, because enough is enough. Why are we entertaining this tonight? We need to speak on behalf of supporting the people. And he said it himself, he can't afford it. And I just wanted to comment on what he said, because Steve over and over repeated, he loves the city of Hudson. He loves the city of Hudson. And I'm happy that you love the city of Hudson. But you know who else loves the city of Hudson? The people that created this city, the people that were born and raised here, the people that are being pushed out, the people that we're trying to protect with housing, with this legislation. And it's so sad that they continue to repeat that they're against it, but not any real solid reasons. And to keep trying to manipulate council members by repeating the law incorrectly, by repeating who and what city is not supporting it incorrectly. So I'm so happy that you spoke up and everyone else that is here tonight that actually supports the people who love the city of Hudson.
Thank you, Tiffany. Mr. Dunn is up yet again.
I think God
Almighty, I'm almost sorry I live to visit this day. New Jersey. I actually bought a condo in New Jersey.
Wow.
And it was an expensive condo as a second home. And the tenant moved out because the characterization of New Jersey law is totally false. And the assertion that there's any municipality in the state of New York that has adopted a provision that deleted paragraph 9, which had been vetted by some progressive legal organization, is also unique. And I think is probably legally problematical. And so you can characterize me as a class enemy and whatever, but I'm sad that the rhetoric has become this heated. I understand the rush to pass this before the year is over and we have a new council, but it's counterproductive because it becomes for small ma and pa landlords with a two-family unit everyone rent
to eating it. Man keeps feeding
it again. So that is my opinion for you all to consider or ignore, whatever. And so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate Steve. Your attention.
Next up is Brigham. I believe that's Brigham Sharp.
Yeah, that's me. Huh. Hi. Thanks. So I just want to voice that I stand with so many people who have already spoken in favor of passing this. And I think it's really important that we're talking about this on a night when we also had the presentation from Michelle, which was showing clear trends of displacement in the town of Hudson and in our community. And so I don't want to talk for too long because this can go on forever, but just reinforcing that so many municipalities in New York State have already affirmed and passed this bill, and I'd love for Hudson to continue and support and follow in the good work that these other communities are doing. So thank you all for working on this and moving it forward tonight.
Thank you. Next is Crystal Hines again. Crystal.
Yes, I just wanted to say that there are plenty of us landlords that are not similarly situated like Steve Dunn, and we cannot afford to pay for everything without any sort of income. Real property like a storefront on Warren Street is a business. And while we're not trying to retire as millionaires, we are trying to cover our expenses and make a little money. I think that people ignore the high tax burden here in the city of Hudson. I think there are ways that we can work towards relieving some of that property tax burden so that people can provide more affordable rents. But it means that the city has to roll up their sleeves and take on some of the hard work. And it seems like this conversation should be expanded, and we should plan these things a little better before sort of rushing into this sort of thing with very little discussion, on and off, on and off, on and off. This is something that we should weigh very carefully. And it just does not seem like the city has done so. I would also ask the council what they're doing to partner with the county, as it seems a lot of the burden for housing issues are falling on the city, which is just a small component here in the county.
Okay, thank you. And let's let council person Rebecca Wolf end this discussion.
Oof.
The burden is upon you, Rebecca.
I just wanted to, again, say that it's so important not to catastrophize, is that the word, catastrophize?
We'll accept
it. the effects of this law on the rights of landlords, which have been not curtailed in various ways that, you know, are perhaps important to consider given the actual catastrophe that we have in Hudson and in many cities around the country, in which lower income people and or just tenants in general do not have anywhere to do not have any stability. So this is actually a crisis in the city of Hudson, and this law is one of many tools that the city has at its disposal to address the situation. The law does allow for landlords who make improvements in their properties to raise their rents. Okay, so I really just object to the sort of fear-mongering, if you will. And I think that it's very important that we as a council consider the kinds of I feel like there's a sense that this is such an extreme measure, but it's really not extreme if you think about the extremity of people not being able to find places to live and not being able to, and or let me just dial that back, not being able to stay where they live because of the situation that the city is in. So thanks.
Thank you, Rebecca. So moving along, I want to remind everybody that if you put for if you introduced or seconded a resolution, you need to stop by City Hall tomorrow morning. Okay. Especially if you are going to sign the bills so that they can be paid. What else? And you
That's
know,
Tiffany.
I'm sorry, what?
That's Tiffany.
Tiffany? She had, oh.
Yeah, she needs to sign the bill.
Oh.
I don't have to sign the bill. That's not the resolution of...
I know, Tiffany.
So, anything else?
Then if you... Yeah. I'm taking too long, then give me a ride. I walk everywhere.
Is it, Linda Mussman, is it something else other than what we were talking about?
Darren, please.
Linda? No, I think this bill, this new law that's on the table should really, it's so complicated and people are so clearly upset about it that some more time be allowed to discuss and have this happen before you all vote on it. I mean, in reality, there's a lot of legal consequences, and in fact, it is a kind of taking. And the city's suffering consequences from this hurried bill could be extreme. So thank you for listening.
Thank you. With that, is there anything?
And you know what? We have over 40 people on this call, and every time we speak about housing, we have over 40, 50 people or even more on these calls. And majority of the people that's on these calls are the people who are tenants and people that work with the actual people that have been born and raised and living in Hudson and would like to remain here. And we always hear from, so funny, the same landlords with so many landlords that's in this city. And it makes me wonder, I don't know about everybody else, but it makes me wonder, because I know in this city, we've dealt and still dealing with so many slumlords. And thank God it came to light for that one building up on Upper Fifth and State Street that finally, after all these years, been recognized and protecting the people, the tenants that live there, but nobody gave a damn about them all these years. For decades, growing up and living in that building, nobody cared. Tenants move out, tenants move in, nothing has changed, nothing is corrected. But they have to live there because there's no place to live while you get to buy multiple properties and complain about a law that we're trying to protect people that live here, that have been renting here forever. Now, remember that and understand that. These are multiple people, and this is people from throughout the entire city of Hudson, that these people that are commenting tonight and continuously, they represent the people I know that I represent. I can't speak for every council member, but I know I represent them, and I'm going to continue to represent them whether I'm on or off the council. But just remember that and continue to understand that. It's only a few landlords that keeps speaking up against this law. So for me, it just brings me in the mindset of slum landlords that just don't want to do the right thing.
Okay. Thank you, Tiffany. With that, I think we're, unless somebody has a different topic they would like to raise.
I'll just give my weekly reminder that the County Department of Health is doing the booster shots for COVID-19. There's one on Thursday. There is expected to be one also on Friday morning, though the link is not up yet. So please, if you are interested in keeping this curb, visit the County Department of Health website. You just need to be 6 months more or out from your second shot.
Thank you, Ryan. I guess with that, do I have a motion to?
Because I won't see everybody, well, technically on Zoom till December. So happy Thanksgiving to everyone. especially the people that we're trying to help. So hopefully they'll still have a home for December. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
To all. Duan, did you make a motion?
Yes.
And do I have a second? Oh, Ryan's a second. All those in favor of adjourning, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone on the council opposed? With that, I thank you all again.
Good night, all.
Good night. And have a nice
Happy Thanksgiving and good night.
Thanksgiving to all, as Tiffany said. And see you in December.